Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4,
page 815. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Well, welcome everyone again. Thought we'd go for a nice short Bible verse today, particularly because we've had so many activities. I hope you've been enjoying today so far. We've had a bit of fun. We've played on a couple of the stereotypes of fathers, telling dad jokes, up in the shed, nailing stuff in, fixing toys. You might have noticed we've got some muscle cars out there to look under the hood. Guys like all those sorts of things. To be honest, I'm not much of a joke teller in my family. I generally leave that up to Joey. But I do end up fixing a fair few toys. Last week I fixed a little sort of a Christmas tree type thing that I glued up for Mabel. I've been trying to fix the freezer fan, stuff like that. And look, of course, these are all good things that many dads do. Not always, but often. But of course, these things should not be the extent of what a father does. In fact, a father could be great at all those things and still be a terrible father. I remember when I was 18, took a year off after year 12, did a trip up the east coast of the mainland surfing, met up with my brother along the way, and we did a bit of driving, a bit of snowboarding, a bit of surfing, went to Dreamworld. We'd just been to Dreamworld and we were in the car park after a fun day together. And we're just about to get into our car, and we hear this sort of angry voice from the other side of the car park. We look across, and there's a dad there with his two young sons. And he'd obviously just been to Dreamworld with his boys, but his voice was raised, and he was yelling at them. And as we looked, he sort of was ordering them into the car, and he grabbed one of them by the scruff and sort of pulled him in towards him and then punched him away. It's just absolutely sickening to watch. And he threw his kids into the car and sped off. It was absolutely horrible. But do you see, he may well have been really good at all these things. And yet, you could still be good at all these things and still be a terrible father. Think about it. You could be great at fixing toys, but you never actually fix the toy. You could be great at building things, but you're only interested in building stuff for yourself. You could be great at telling jokes, but then use that gift just to tell jokes at your children's expense or at your wife's expense. You could be really strong, but use that strength to bully your children. So what is it that makes a good father? And particularly a good Christian father? That's the question we're looking at today. What is it that makes a good Christian father? We're going to look at three things that make a good Christian father. And the first thing you can see there is that a good Christian father knows his role. What is that role? What is your role as a father? Well, whatever you do, don't look to television or movies. Don't look to television or movies, because a definite transition has taken place. I did a little bit of research into this. Over the last 50 to 70 years, fathers were once portrayed as wise, loving men, deserving of respect from their children. That's how they were portrayed on television. But over time, that respect just turned to irreverence, and then irreverence turned to outright disdain. Fathers began to be portrayed as dim-witted, useless doofuses. The family clowns who couldn't do anything useful themselves without the help of their much smarter wife and genius children. You can relate to that, I'm sure. Dads had become duds. About the only thing they're good for on television is to provide a character so dumb that the rest of the family has someone to laugh at. So don't look to TV for your role as a father. And don't look to the latest politically correct progressive philosophies that's permeating our culture. That philosophy is so destructive. It attacks the whole concept of masculinity. It attacks the concept of a nuclear family. So much so that men today don't even know what it means to be a man, let alone to be a father. In fact, the very fact that they are male makes them guilty. Guilty of all the problems throughout history, Their maleness makes them oppressors. And men are under pressure nowadays to stop being male. Because maleness is bad. Just be something else, just don't be male. So don't look to pop culture to tell you what your role is as a Christian father. Don't look to TV, don't look to pop culture. Where do we look? We look to God's word. We look to God's word because there you'll find your God-given role as a father. What sort of father God wants you to be? And what does God tell us in his word? Well, he tells us that a father is supposed to be the leader. He actually tells us that the father is supposed to lead. Now, I know this is a little bit, well, let's face it, it's politically incorrect to say that, right? But stick with me. I hope you'll be surprised. We see in Ephesians chapter 5 that the husband is to be the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. So here's the verse, Ephesians 5:23. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church." Now, some people who don't like this say, well, the word head there doesn't mean head, it means source, as in the source of a river. So there's no connotations really in Scripture of husbands to having, you know, any sort of leadership or authority. Where do they get that theology from? Nowhere. It's not there in the Bible. In fact, it's just an attempt to twist the meaning of Scripture to fit the culture. Even though the Bible warns us again and again against doing this, it's exactly what many people do. There's a top biblical scholar called Wayne Grudem. Some of you may have heard of him. He did a word study on the Greek word for head, which is kephale, if you're interested in Greek words. He looked at 2,336 examples of the use of that word from the 8th century BC to the 4th century AD, and his conclusion was that it was never applied to a person who didn't have some sort of governing authority. So the word head means head. It means leadership. So it's clear that God wants the husband to have some sort of headship role, some leadership role in their family, over their wife and over their children as well, obviously. When we look at Ephesians 6:4, which is the verse Tim read out for us, we see that fathers specifically have been singled out to have a responsibility for the teaching and instruction of their children. And in 1 Timothy 3, we've got a list of qualifications for overseers of the church. We see there that overseers are supposed to be men who manage their families well. So there's no doubt that God wants husbands, fathers, to have a leadership role in their families. So dads, don't listen to TV. Don't listen to the culture around you. Don't listen to that voice that's all around us that says, stop leading your family. Rather, step up. Step up, accept your role. It's an important role. And it's a role that God wants you to fill. You aren't a waste of space. You're not redundant. You are the person God wants to be leading your family. That's the first element of being a good Christian father, to know your role. You're supposed to be a leader. The crucial question is, though, how do you go about leading? What's the manner in which you're supposed to lead your family? That's a crucial question because many men have led and do lead in absolutely dreadful ways. They lead by lording it over their families. In fact, they may have used this very teaching to justify oppressing and abusing their wives and children. So let me say absolutely categorically that this is absolutely not the type of leading that God wants fathers to exercise. It never has been, and anyone who's leading like that is an absolute disgrace. It's not leading in a Christian manner at all. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. I was trying to think of an analogy for that. The only thing I think of was, well, apart from the baby in the bathwater, you think about a Porsche. How do you make a Porsche? Well, you start with a Porsche chassis, and then you put on a Porsche drivetrain and a Porsche body and a Porsche fit out and you've got a beautiful Porsche, right? But if someone comes along with a poor chassis and then puts a rusty old decrepit truck with an engine that doesn't work on top and says, this is my Porsche. And everyone around starts saying, oh, gee, Porsches are rubbish. That's dreadful. That's horrible. Why would you buy a Porsche? Take it to the tip. But they're not, are they? His version is rubbish, absolutely. His version is an abomination. But you see, that's what our world does with the Christian view of leadership. So let's not accept this postmodern progressive line that the Christian model of fatherhood is rubbish because some people have abused and turned it into an abomination. That's a shallow and ignorant point of view. How is the Christian father to lead his family? A Christian form of leadership? He's to lead with the character of Christ. He's to lead with the character of Christ. That's the second thing today. That means leading in a self-sacrificial, servant-loving way. Just like it says husbands are the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church and, you might know this, gave himself up for her. Christ gave his life in service, in love, for the benefit of the church. Husbands are to lead in the same way, giving themselves up for the good of their families, being willing to die for their families. They're so into and interested in the best thing for their families that they give themselves up, not lording it over, but serving them in love. That's Christian leadership. That's what it means to lead with the character of Christ. Who in their right mind wouldn't want to follow a leader like that? When you're leading like that, you become a blessing to your family. You're a blessing. But not only are you a nice leader to have, but you're a leader worthy of being followed. You're a leader who can provide an example to your children. You become a role model. Now, we know how important parents' examples are to their children. So much of a child's character is caught as well as taught. So often we see our kids behaving a certain way, don't we? We don't need statistics and studies to tell us. We've rubbed off on them. We know we do. And so, dads, this is another reason why your characters are just so important. Because of the example you are rubbing off on your children. Not only are you supposed to be a loving servant of your family, but you're supposed to have all the other characteristics of Christ as well. That's what's required of every Christian, actually, that you grow more Christ-like. That's what Christian maturity is. And Christ, full of the Holy Spirit, bore the fruits of the Spirit. We're told in Galatians 5 what the fruits are. Love. That's a good one. Joy. Peace. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's the character of Christ. Would you like your children to be a little more loving? Model love yourself. Would you like them to be a little bit more gentle and kind? Model gentleness and kindness yourself. Would you like them to be more self-controlled? Model self-control yourself. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, you need to actually give your life to Jesus. You need to give your life to Jesus. Because when you do that, you become a new person. And the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, comes to live in you. And that Spirit wants you. It starts doing battle with your sinful human nature. And there's this war going on. It tells us in, I think, Galatians 3 or Galatians 4. There's a war going on. And so we're told we can start walking in step with the Spirit. We're no longer bound to our sinful human nature. And we can start waging that war. And friends, that's what we need to do. Become a Christian, start waging war against our sinful nature, put that to death, and live by the Spirit, bearing the fruits of the Spirit. But that takes time, and that takes effort. In fact, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, make every effort to add to your faith love and goodness and godliness and self-control. Don't be just content, oh, I've crossed the line, saved, I'm going to heaven, blah, blah. Peter says, no, make every effort to add to your faith that you began with. Add goodness and self-control. Add those things. And guess what? He says, for if you possess these things in increasing measure, it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your faith. Doesn't that apply to fatherhood as well? If you want to be productive and effective, add to your faith the fruits of the Spirit, the character of Christ. Maybe you've wondered why growing in maturity is part of our mission here at Snow Christian Church. We want to make mature disciples. Well, this is one of the reasons, because a mature disciple is growing in the character of Christ, and the next generation relies on godly role models. I was thinking, you so often hear, don't you, parenting advice that says, well, to be a good parent, you just need to spend a lot of time with your kids. Do you know that that's sort of okay if you're a good role model? Have you thought about that? If you are not a good role model, don't spend time with the kids because you'll be a bad influence on them. Do you see how important it is? Yes, that's true if you're a good role model. So fathers, if you want to be a blessing to your children, if you want to be good Christian fathers, follow Jesus and lead with the character of Christ. That's the second element of being a good Christian father. But that character is also especially important in relation to the third thing. Because if you don't have the character of Christ, the third thing that makes a good Christian father will fall on deaf ears. Because the third thing that makes a good Christian father is that you don't just lead. You don't even just lead with the character of Christ, but you lead with the character of Christ and teach the truth about Christ. That's the third thing today. Your character needs to support the message that you teach. It needs to support the message you teach, but it doesn't replace the message you teach. That's important. Because even if you had the best character in the world, if you had the character of Christ, and your children grew up and they caught a lot of that character, but they didn't get the gospel, well, you failed them as a father. You failed them as a father for two reasons. The first reason is because you haven't told them the source of your character. Knowing Christ is the source of Christian character. And if you don't tell them about the truth about Jesus, you're not telling them where it comes from. You're implying that it just comes from the goodness within you. No, it doesn't. It comes from the Spirit of Christ living in you. That's the first reason why you need to tell them the truth about Christ. The second reason is because not only is your character shaped by the knowledge of Jesus, but so is your destiny, and so is theirs. Your children aren't saved from God's judgment by being good. Your children are saved from God's judgment by knowing Jesus and putting their trust in Him. And so the greatest gift that you can give your children, fathers, is a knowledge of the truth about Jesus. In fact, if you wanted to look in the Bible for specific advice to you as a dad, how to be a good Christian father, one of the clearest examples is this verse in Ephesians 6:4, which is directed specifically to you, and it tells you, fathers, don't exasperate your children, rather bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Teach them about Jesus, right? That's just so abundantly clear. You have a mandate. You've got a responsibility to teach your children about Jesus. Now, it's true. The word fathers sometimes includes mothers as well. But there's also a perfectly good Greek word for parents. Paul used that word in verse 1, just three verses earlier. He says, children, obey your parents. But in verse 4, he specifically uses the Greek word for fathers, because this is a specific command to fathers. Bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Dads, this is your responsibility. I know that our culture says men and women, mums and dads are interchangeable. God doesn't say that. God doesn't say that. God's word agrees with the science that there are a number of biological innate differences between men and women, and therefore there are some differences in what they do. If anyone knows these differences between men and women, it's God, right? He made us. And God gives a particular charge to fathers. Don't neglect this responsibility. Teach your children the truth of the gospel, the truth about Jesus and what it means to follow him. Now, don't hear me say that mums shouldn't be active in doing this as well. Of course they should be, particularly if dad isn't a Christian. But God, this is a talk specifically for you dads. God gives you a specific responsibility to bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, interestingly, the statistics seem to agree with how important the spiritual direction of fathers actually is. There's not heaps of studies that have been done on this, but the information I could find, this is an Anglican report from Australia. It says this: when dad attends church, the family comes 90% of the time. Whereas when mum attends, the figure falls to 25 to 30%. Isn't that amazing? The influence that fathers have in the spiritual direction of their families. There's another study, an older study in 1994, a study was conducted in Switzerland about church attendance. It's about the longer term effects of church attendance on children's church attendance when they grow up. It was published in the year 2000. And the results, three main conclusions. Firstly, if both mum and dad, father and mother, attend church regularly, a third of the time, 33% of the time, their children end up as regular churchgoers themselves. Secondly, though, if dad is irregular, his heart's not in it, he just doesn't turn up very much, but mum is regular, only 3% of children will subsequently become regular themselves. But look at this. If the father is regular and the mother is irregular, 38% of children become regular churchgoers. That's phenomenal. In fact, in the words of Dr. David Phillips, National President of Family Voice Australia, he says, a startling conclusion from this study is that the father's spiritual leadership is a crucial factor. Obviously it's crucial, but should it be startling? Because this is what God said, right? God's been saying this all along. Dads, lead your families spiritually. Now, obviously, this study is referring to church attendance. That's the easiest thing to measure, of course. But it demonstrates how important it is for dads to lead with the character of Christ, teaching the truth about Christ. Now, one question you might have is, how do I do that? I just don't feel like I've got the character of Christ. How can I lead like this? I don't know much about Jesus. Well, the truth is, you can't lead like this. You can't. You can't lead your family unless you are first leading yourself. You can't lead your family unless you're first leading yourself. To be a good Christian father, you've got to be a good Christian, right? You need to grow in maturity yourself. You can't fake it. You can't go through the motions. You can't say the words, "Yeah, kids, I'm a really committed Christian," and not be one. Your kids will see straight through you. They'll see a hypocrite. They'll see that your heart's not in it, and the game's lost. If you want to lead your family well like this, you've got to start by leading yourself. That means put your trust in Jesus. Seek him first and foremost above everything else in your life. Invest time with him. Read his word regularly. Put it into practice. Pray. Seek God first, and then you'll be prepared to lead your family as well. Almost finished. In conclusion, don't be intimidated by the culture around you, dads. Don't be defeated. Don't let Satan win. This is too important. This is your family. Don't be passive. Don't be a passive dad. Don't sit back and handball this responsibility to your wife and expect her to do it all. Don't handball it to me as one of the leaders here at church. Don't hand it to the church. Don't handball it to the school. Don't handball it to the culture or television. It's your responsibility. You've got an important role. God's giving you that role. So step up. Take the bull by the horns. Get on with leading your family with the character of Christ, teaching the truth about Christ. Before we finish, I just want you to imagine. I want you to imagine every single bloke, every single male, even these young males. So hands up if you're a male. Come on. Right. Half the church, right? Imagine if every single male in this church grew up to lead their families with the character of Christ, teaching the truth about Christ. Can you imagine the impact that would have on this church, on Snug, on subsequent generations, on Tasmania? Can you imagine? That's what God wants for us. That's what God wants for us. I'm going to leave it there. Instead of me praying to close, I've got a volunteer over here, a young man and another young man over here. They're going to come up and they're going to say a prayer each for the dads here among us. So thank you, Benno, and thank you, Joey. Let's pray with these young men. Can you hold the mic and pray at the same time? All right. Let's pray.
Dear God, thank you for our fathers. Thank you that we can spend time with our fathers, that we have Father's Day, that we have fathers that look after us. We pray for those who don't have a father to spend time with. We pray that they might have someone who can look after them. We pray that all the fathers have a good day and that they will have time to spend with their family. Thanks, God, that we can have someone to teach us what to do. Thanks for the good influences they are.
Dear God, you're the best example of a father. You care for us and lead us, and I pray that you will be with all the fathers here and everywhere, that you will help them be like the father you are. Amen.
Amen.